chapter 3. Yeah. We're coming back. Yeah. Sometimes we have to revisit. I didn't want to do this message tonight. Didn't want to do it. But I feel the Holy Spirit continues to tell me somebody needs to come to the Lord. Somebody needs to get it right. So I'm just going to preach what it is. If you're that person, you need to work it out. And if there's more than two, well, praise the Lord, you need to work it out with Him. All right? Because, yeah, we're going to go there. All right. Well, Father, as we break into your word for these next few moments, as we break through this part here, I pray that your Spirit will move upon those that need to be moved upon tonight in a way that only you can. And may each person leave this room tonight in this building stronger in their walk with you, and their hearts and their souls be clean and clear. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Everything is perfect in this Garden of Eden. Everything is perfect. Husband is perfect. Ladies that are married, can you believe it? The husband is perfect. Can you believe, husbands, that the wife is perfect? She is perfect in all ways. They are perfect. They serve the perfect God. They're in a perfect place. Everything is going well, and there is no bickering. There is no arguing. Everything is smooth. Hey, honey. Yes? Yes, no, and yes, right? And so things are good, and God is happy. When he looked down, he saw it all, he said, it's all good. And then we see in verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And then so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it and ate, take the fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you? I want to tell you that it was perfect. Everything was in harmony. And then it all fell apart. It all fell apart. You know, sin makes you spiritually sick. You that are believers, you know that when you sin, you become spiritually sick. You do. And it brings more and more and more problems. They partook of this fruit that they should not, and problems are getting ready to happen. And it doesn't just happen then, it continues on happening. And then sometimes sin brings long-term consequences. The drive-through forgiveness line is long. And if you just drive through asking God to forgive you, you get what you put in. And that's not what it needs to be, and we see some of that going to happen. Now, sin messes up their life. Now, sometimes we all know that sometimes our lives have come to a place where it's a really messy. Sometimes it's sin that we have done on our own. Sometimes it's sin we've done with someone else. And sometimes, unfortunately, when we were younger, someone did sin against us and did some things to us that should have not happened. And we we kind of have some of the overflow of that nasty sins that person did. Okay? So sometimes that sin that someone else did, we become part of that. It still messes us up, even though we may not have been the one that done it, but that what sin was done to us. And we carry that. But here we see that Satan wants us to commit sin. He wants us to commit sin. He doesn't like good things. If you go to the book of Job, there was a righteous man, and he went to God and he complained because he couldn't get in there and work on Job. Satan wants to work on our lives. So I want to tell you right now, if your life is going great, Satan is trying to find open spots in your life to cause you problems. You will never have a perfect life on this world because of what happened here in the garden. Lifetime consequences until the end of days on earth. And we see that because we are all born into sin. The Bible says, for all fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Okay, so we know we've all sinned, and it comes from here. But we can't blame them because we do our own sin. Right? So what we see here is sin has its representation to look good and feel good. We see that the serpent sit there and Satan was working through him. That we see this part here that he was talking about the things that was drawing Eve to let her eyes start to glisten and look at it. And talking about it, how good it looked and the lust of it and the desiring of it. But there's a representation about sin. It looks good, and it might feel good, and it has that part about it. But what it does is it's part of lust, and it ends up in lust. It ends up in revenge or lies and dissension and anger and bitterness and hate and all these other things. Because all you see is what's in the front. It's kind of like, let's make a deal. What's behind that box? And that person can tell you every good thing. And what's behind that box? What's behind that box? And it opens up, and it's never good. With sin, it is never good. But we fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. Because it looks good, and it tastes good, and it feels good, and it's a part of that. And it starts out sweet, but it always turns sour. It always turns sour. It always does. You can't have your sin and enjoy it. Can I tell you that? You cannot have your sin and enjoy it the way you want. It will dominate you because that's what sin does. It takes over. It takes over. So what was tasting good, what was feeling good, draws you into where you need it all the time. Even like sex and drugs and alcohol. You feel like you need it, and it tells you that you need it because your body's a part of it. And it just never delivers on its promise. Sin never delivers its promise. It never does. And it never will. It never will. The bars are filled with broken dreams. Old stories that got mangled up with other stories because the mind is not clear, not sure what was really true in the past. Talking to people that say, "Oh, I'll be there with you for the very end." No. If something happens to you, they won't be there. Just somebody else taking your spot. Sin doesn't care who it is. Sin loves to bring more people. This is exactly what happened with here. Eve. It's all about Eve here. It's all about the woman. She don't even have the name Eve yet, but we're calling her Eve. But she's there with the serpent, but she also gives it to Adam. Satan likes to bring everybody in. Big party. Big party. The more, the merrier. Because it looks fun when there's more people. In the privacy, it's not about the fun. It's about, why don't you just go ahead and kill yourself? Why don't you just go ahead and drive off that cliff? Why don't you just shoot up more than you've ever shot up in your life and just have the biggest high and then you call it quits? Just check out. That's what's actually going on behind the scenes. But in the front, it's put a smile on your face and party hard because this is the best place to be in the world. And then there's a time everything shuts down. People go home with people that they don't need to. And then you find out they end up in 6 months later, 6 years later. Oh, my goodness. Went to the doctor and I have AIDS. How did that happen? Six years later, you find out that you're in 6 years of trying to get sober and you can't get sober because it keeps calling your name. And now the thrill is gone. So B.B. King, the thrill is gone. The thrill of sin and fun is over because now it has taken over. It's not just a moment of a fun moment. Now it has consumed the life and it has completely taken over. Now it's all about the need of it. Now I'm in survival mode of it. And you become one. The sin has taken over. You don't even look like the person. You notice you don't even look like the person that you used to look. Don't even used to look like the person. Don't act like the person. Because when you're living in sin, and it dominates you, you hang around people who are like-minded. And people don't even trust them. They don't even trust each other. This is why you got to change your faces, which is in your places. This is why we have people like, not saying anything, ladies, but I'm just a small group tonight, so we're just kind of more close. But if your way was working, you wouldn't be here. So we have a place here to hear something new and something fresh and see some fresh faces. But just as much as some of the ladies are having a hard time talking to some of the people in the church, our church has a hard time talking to some of you because they're just trying to figure it out too. It doesn't mean that the church feels like they're better. They just sometimes they don't want to get wrapped up in because they have spent time in that same place as some of you have. Because sin does so much damage. And Adam and Eve were broken. They opened, it says their eyes opened and they found out they were naked. They didn't even know they were naked. And walking around without any clothes on was fine. God said that was fine. That's great. That's purity. They don't have any lustful, evil thoughts. But when their eyes opened, the world changed around them and in them. And when we sin, the world changes around us. If we get into an addiction lifestyle or any of those kind of lifestyles, the world changes. Not only around us, but in us. We'll give up everything to get the next hit. We'll give up everything for the next drink. Some people will give up everything. And I say some people because it's not just men. Some men will give up everything to continue to watch porn. Even though now the wife finds out, they still will watch it. Fastest growing addiction in the world. And they saw themselves naked, and it says they sewed fig leaves. Now, how long is a fig leaf going to last when you start walking around? It's going to start ripping. And they did something. And it says they hid themselves. Do you know when we sin, we hide? As a Christian, the first place we hide is from the church. We always hide from the church. Our attendance drops quickly. And then we get judgmental. We can get judgmental because, oh, the church, all they talk about is sin. Oh, the church, we don't want to be around the church. We get defensive because that's what sin does. It wants you to be defensive, protect your lifestyle. But inside, you know, there's a conviction. As a believer, there's a conviction knowing that what you're doing is against God. Not against man. It could be against the law, but it's against God. And you cannot run or hide from God. You can't do it. Men and women, all the way back from the beginning, the Garden of Eden, all the way to Jonah, all the way through, and even today, people are still trying to run from God. And wherever they go, their sin follows them. And it says, the Lord came into the garden and they hid themselves. I know what it was like in my home when my father would walk. I knew I did something wrong. I heard those footsteps. I knew that car was coming around the corner. I knew what time he got off work. And I'm like, ooh. I didn't want to face it. But the Lord says, where are you? Did he know where they were? Yes, he did. He knew exactly what they were. Let's look. He says, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He even says that. I heard your voice and I was afraid. People who, Christians who are living a sinful lifestyle right now, many of them are afraid to hear the word of God. Because it convicts them of what they're doing, and they already know because they have that voice, that spirit in them, convicting them, telling them what they're doing is wrong. And I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, the Lord says, you, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate it. First time ever somebody made a blame. She's like, what? Never heard him talk like that before. Can you imagine that? Never heard him talk like that ever. And the first thing he does is throw her under the bus. He's her protector. She came from him. They were one. The two shall become one. They were one. Now we got division. He throws her under the bus. The woman you gave me. Isn't that what happens when people are confronted with their sin? They blame it, always want to put the blame on someone else. And the Lord said to the woman, he turns and he says to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. She pointed over here at the serpent. Now, here's a key piece we don't hear a lot about. Adam admits it, but he blamed it on the woman. The woman admits it, but she blames it on the serpent. Serpent never says a thing. Because that's just who the devil is. He loves this moment. God's prized creation, rebelling against God, he's loving it. But God says, he does some things here. I don't want to get all on what's in here, but he talks and he gives a curse down on this serpent. But there's also a part in there that he speaks through these scriptures to Satan. And then to the woman, he talks about childbearing pain. All you ladies that's had babies, you know that there's pain in childbirth. Come from here. Then talks about man having to work forever and have to work till the day. And then they talk, and God tells them, from the dust you came, the dust you shall return. Sounds like a sad, it is a sad story. But the mercy of God is what I want to share with you here for just a few moments. Right then, God could have said, I'm done with it. Before it got super complicated, I'm done with it. Done. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible does say that God, the Bible scripture says, God grieved that he made man. Whew, that is a very heart-wrenching verse. God grieved that he made man, for all men's thoughts were evil. But God doesn't throw the clay away. He did say the clay, man, woman, will go back to the dust which he created them. But God didn't throw the clay away. Praise God for that. He could have done that. But there was a little bit more that went on. After all this talking, it says in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord gave them coverings of skin and clothed them. This is the part where the first death had to happen. Animal fur to cover them, not these plant fig leaves, but something that was going to be long-lasting. It is fur coverings, fur animal clothes, okay? But an animal had to die for that, which is that part you asked earlier. What's the part about covering the sin? It is the blood. God took all that in. So this sin caused a couple animals to be put to death so they could take that skin, the coverings, to cover them, and they shed their blood as a sacrifice. And then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, which is the Lord and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So he's not going to be able to do that. Can't have your cake and eat it too kind of thing. You can't live that evil lifestyle and get that eternal life. And I'm going to go over there and eat that so I can live forever. No. So what does he do? He says, therefore the Lord sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Now, most people, when they move from one home to the other, they try to improve a little bit of their lifestyle, just a little bit. Or they're moving and they grow and they want a bigger house for the kids or whatever it may be. Here, they will never get a home as awesome as the one they were kicked out of. It was a perfect home. It was a perfect place. There was never no storms that came down. Actually, storms didn't come. Rain didn't come down until Noah's time of the flood. It just kind of came up from the ground. It was good. The earth was good. And now they're going to have to fight thorns and thistles and stickers and flies and mosquitoes and all that other stuff. And they get to bicker with each other now. But God was with them. And then verse 1 of 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man, here it is, from the Lord. Even though they got in some trouble, first verse, the next chapter, says, I've acquired a man, not from us, but she gave the glory to the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, brother Abel. Now Abel was a better keeper and all this kind of stuff, and it comes down, and now they have a family. They live a long time back then, but they have a family. And God blessed them. Let me tell you something a little bit about God. God sees your sins. And he knows the sins are bad. And we were lost without God. But the Bible says that God loves us so much that he gave Jesus Christ to this earth to die for our sins, to bring us into his fold, into part of his family. And when we sin, the Bible says that we can ask for forgiveness. We can seek God's face and ask for forgiveness. That doesn't take away the conviction, because eviction is part of it. That doesn't take away some of the consequences. Just because they worked through it doesn't mean they got to come back. No, God put a cherubim, an angel, right there. Nothing can come into this garden. God understands setbacks. He understands failures. But he can turn failures and setbacks into awesome lives. Lives that were lost. And Satan says, I got you. I got you. I tore your life apart. You made horrible choices and bad choices, and you caused all the problems. You're a loser. You're done for. Hook, line, sinker, victory for Satan. Let me tell you, when Jesus comes on the scene, all that stuff goes away. Now, you may have to deal with some consequences. You may have to deal with some stuff, but I'm telling you, down the road, you will work through it. He will help you work through it. So there's nothing you've done that he cannot forgive. There's nothing you've done that he will not forgive. You just have to ask for it. And you may need a little help working through some of it. Let me tell you one more thing before we close and open it up. Satan loves secrets. Oh, man. He loves you to keep secrets. He loves you to think about secrets that are not yours, but have thoughts about other people and keep it a secret. He loves secrets because secrets will burn a hole inside of you. It's not good. When you open up, that's why the psychiatrist, they want you to open up. Get it out. Because the more it's in there, the more it festers and the more it just runs like a cancer and eats you up alive. And you'll never experience the true joy of what God has for you. You'll never experience the true redemption or restoration of a life that he wants you to have. You'll never have it if you keep secrets. And what do we do with secrets? We, just like Adam and Eve, we go hide. That's a secret. I'm hiding in secrecy. And God will come right up there and say, where are you? And here it is. You have to answer before you get any better. You have to face it. The whipping isn't long. The consequences sometimes don't last for a long time. Sometimes they do. But God's forgiveness is quick and loving, kindness and mercy. So I want you to understand tonight, no matter what you've done, God gave Adam and Eve another shot. And they messed it up again more and more down the road. I'm sure they did. And maybe you need to reach out and grab yours. But I can't give it to you. Only he can. It's time to quit hiding behind the leaves and step out and say, here I am, God. Will you take me just as I am? And I know God enough this. He'll take you just as you are. And the awesome part is, he won't leave you the same way you came to him. He will not leave you and let you go the same. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. Give you this time tonight just to come down and to do whatever you need to do with God.